Very, very happy to have all of you with us this morning, and I must admit, I'm a little bit jealous. Always have been. I called my mama this morning. She's 85 years old, and I was reminded of the fact that I haven't been to church with her on Mother's Day since 1976. That's when I left home. And I started preaching in 77. And brethren are not aware of the fact, but when your daddy preaches and your brother preaches, you're not going to get together much. It just does not happen that way. And I have always been envious of my brethren whose parents could come visit with them, and they could go and visit with their parents. And I don't say that to get a lot of sympathy. What I'm saying is the reality of the fact is this. If it weren't for our mothers, this church wouldn't be here. Amen, church. And that's true in so many other places, because they are indeed the foundation of the home. Because of what they provide, the stability. Most of you know I just retired from 26 years with the district attorney's office. And for 22 of those years, I was a lead prosecutor in juvenile court. And I cannot tell you how many kids I had in juvenile court who didn't have a daddy. I don't mean the father was deceased. I mean they didn't have a daddy because daddy chose not to be there. And I have seen countless occasions where the mother would fill out a sheet of information listing the siblings and listing the father and the father's name. And not only sometimes did she have to put address unknown, she had to put identity unknown. And yet she provided that stability. And so then today, it is not my intent in any shape, form, or fashion to preach to the mothers. But I got to thinking, if the Bible says anything any more clearly than this, I don't know what it is. And that is, what does the Bible say for mothers? Not to them, but what does the Bible say for mothers? Give attention to the reading of the Word.
Morning. This morning I'll be reading Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Let church say amen. If you listened carefully, the admonition of the Apostle Paul is to two groups of people. And if you're honest, you realized as the passage was being read that these two groups of people are those that are closest to a mama's heart, her children and their fathers. And that's why the Bible addresses this. That's why Paul is preaching for mothers. And what does he say? He says, first of all, children, you need to live in subjection. Now, hold on just a minute. I mentioned earlier that I spoke with my 85-year-old mother on the phone this morning. If you were to ask her, how many children do you have? You know what she'd say? Three. But we're all in our 60s. You never stop being your mother's child. Are you with me? You never stop being your mother's child. And so that's obvious on its face. And what does Paul say to the mama's children? He says that first of all, they are to live in subjection. Children, obey your parents. Well, now wait a minute now, Paul. Would you qualify that? No. Does he say, children, obey your parents? And I had to hear this forever in court. Does he say, children, obey your parents when you think they're right? No. Does he even say, children, obey your parents when they are right? No, that's not what he says. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Folks, I don't want to be misunderstood this morning, and I wish I could have said this in the courtroom. But it's a sin to disobey your parents. That's Romans 1 and verse 30. It's a sin to disobey your parents. And I'm not a prophet of doom. But it's a sign that society is collapsing. When you search the pages of history, that's what happened to every major society that collapsed. It started with the home. And the point being, you cannot be right with God and be disobedient to parents. I've illustrated as well that in juvenile court, the judge would be reading off the terms of probation and would describe any number of things from being incarcerated, basically in juvenile detention. We didn't call it jail, it's detention. Or so many months on probation and you have to complete these programs and on and on and on, and you have to attend school and you have to keep your grades up at school. And then the judge would say, you must obey rules at home. And I would stand up. Judge, may it please the court. Judge Patty Smith would say, yes, Mr. Bradley. And I'd say, Judge, you're aware of my rule. And she'd kind of roll her eyes and say, yes, Mr. Bradley, the court is very well aware of your rule. But this child probably needs to hear it. And again, I would say, thank you, Judge, and may it please the court. I want this child to know that should they disobey their parents, I will consider it a violation of their probation and I will jail them forthwith. And Patty would look at these kids and say, he means that. You disobey your mama. You disrespect your mama in this county, and Mr. Bradley will lock you up. Why? Because the Bible teaches subjection. Children, obey your parents. But then he provides sufficiency. Because look at the next phrase. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I love the way Paul shapes that in a question in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. When he says, and who is sufficient for these things? Well, he answers his own question in the next chapter in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 when he says, our sufficiency is of God. So children, obey your parents, okay? That's subjection. In the Lord, that is sufficiency. And I'm aware of the fact that kids grow up thinking that mama and daddy just must sit around the house thinking up rules and thinking up regulations. You can't do this, you can't go there, you can't do this. Well, kids, I want you to listen to Mr. Gary for a minute. This ain't your mom and dad's idea. Are you listening? This was not your mama and daddy's idea. This was God's idea. And I used to hear my daddy pray something and it didn't make any sense to me, really, until my three boys got to be teenagers and I found myself saying something to them that he had said to me, and a kind of a bell went off, hey, I've heard this before. And that as I would say to them, let me get you back to God in one piece. Isn't that what the Bible teaches here? that it may be well with thee. See, not only is there subjection, not only is there sufficiency, there's survival. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Let me get you back to God in one piece. That it may be well with thee. We talk about being happy. Well, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. That's not it. But it may be well and live long. Folks, we're in trouble. I'm not a pessimist by nature, but this nation is in trouble. All you have to do is watch the television and look at what's coming down the pike. And when it comes to these issues, to be quite truthful, I didn't care about it as much as I do now. But I got a 16-year-old granddaughter that's driving. You talk about a scary thought. Knowing what I know and having been where I've been, and she's out there driving, and she said, "Pop, there's this boy at school that likes me." Uh-huh. This is a matter of national survival. That's what the Bible teaches. That if we don't raise our kids right, our nation is not going to survive. And I'm aware of the fact that many of us tragically have forgotten some of the things in our Old Testament, one of which is what they did with disobedient children. They stoned them to death. Now, kids, aren't you glad that was in the Old Testament? Do your head like this. Uh-huh. Aren't you? Now that was there under that for our learning. That was there to establish this principle that if the nation's going to survive, we've got to have obedient kids. And so Paul is speaking for mothers, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." But then Paul shifts gears, doesn't he? Paul kind of shifts gears in verse 4. And this is the second party to what mamas want more than anything else. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know what that is? That's devotion. Be not provoked. I have a piece of cross stitching. I've told you about it before. It's in my home. It says any man can be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a daddy. And I'm going to qualify that. You got to even be more special to be a pop. But that's what Paul's trying to say. Dads, granddads, you be devoted to what? You be devoted not to hunting and fishing and who's playing ball and what are the odds on so-and-so. Uh-huh. I don't want to get into how many families are being destroyed by sports betting as we speak, and the daddies are the lead in that. How about if daddies were the lead in studying the Bible instead of studying the odds? How about if daddies led the way in knowing what God says about something rather than what's on the internet, rather than what's being publicized? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, meaning you be devoted to fatherhood. Hear me today, please, I beg you. Dads, the greatest thing you can do for your children is love their mama. Where do your boys go to school learning how to be married? Watching you and watching the way you treat their mother. That's where your boys go to school learning how to be married. And I'm aware of the fact that, I didn't want my boys to know this, but you can be so tough on them. You can be too tough on them. You can be so overbearing that there's no way for them to win. And what does the Bible say about that? What is the outcome? You provoke them to wrath. You provoke, and I've seen that again firsthand with kids that say, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm always wrong. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. That's discipline. See, it starts with devotion, dads. And then it goes to discipline. Discipline always arises out of a positive relationship. If the devotion was not there to begin with, the discipline is not going to do any good. Bring them up in the nurture. I love that word. I love that word, nurture. You know what it means? Instruction. That means you got to get up out of that chair. You got to turn off the television. You got to put down the John Brown phone and instruct your children. See, that's how serious this is. I say again, where are they going to go to school to learn how to be married? Where are they going to go to school to learn how to raise kids? Well, I'm so glad the Hebrew letter addresses this. Because when it says bring them up in the nurture, the word means instruction. And that's the same word the Hebrew writer uses in Hebrews chapter 12 in talking about the way God has treated us. Those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He instructs. The Old Testament writer had it right when he said in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Now listen to the rest of that. But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Did you catch that? I could spend the rest of this day telling you case after case after case after case. I've said before, my mama used to ask me how's work, and I'd tell her, and she'd say, shut up. I said, you can't imagine how many kids are raising themselves. And this county is no different than Shelby County. And the Bible says that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Well, what do we do about that? Again, Proverbs 29 verse 15 said the rod and reproof brings wisdom, but verse 17 of that same passage says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. And yea, he shall delight unto thy soul. Now, I've tried to explain this to kids for years as it was explained to me, and it didn't make any sense then, but it did later. And that is, you tell your kids, you be home at 11 o'clock. I don't mean 11:01. I don't mean 11:05. You be home at 11 o'clock. And you're sitting in your recliner. Maybe you've already gone to bed, and you're watching that clock. And it's 10:45. And it's 10:50. It's 10:55. And you start hearing those sirens go out the highway. And you pray, God, please don't be going after one of mine. Please don't be going after one of mine. Because I told you what I did 106 times, and about half of them were dead teenagers. And parents lying awake at night wondering, why hadn't my son come home? Well, he's at the ER with a sheet over his face. That's why he hadn't come home. And the proverb writer hit it a long time ago when he said, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. And yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The greatest joy a mama can have is knowing where her children are. And that they're safe. And she can have that if she's got a father, a husband, who follows up on that. Now, never shall forget, I was trying to correct my middle son, William, and that was a task, and I'll have to explain that to you another time. And I looked at him one time. He kept interrupting me, and I said, "Son, do you mind?" And he said, "Yes, Daddy, I mind. I'm a good boy." That wasn't what I had. That wasn't where my thought was. He was in a different context. But see, the miserable parents are the ones that let them get away with it. I say again, I dealt with it for 22 years. They let them get away with it over and over and over, and then they wanted us to fix it in the court system. And it just didn't work that way. So children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You provide the devotion. You provide the discipline. You provide thirdly, the direction. That's verse 4. In the nurture and what? Admonition. First time I tried to pronounce that word admonition, it came out ammunition. Well, it's not far off, is it, Bobby? It's kind of the same. The ammunition we need in the home sometimes is the admonition. The admonition of the Lord. There is a passage in the Old Testament that's very familiar to many of you. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It was a passage that was referred to in the Hebrews as the Shema. The Shema. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6 in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently on Sunday in Miss Amy's class." Is that in your Bible? No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. "Thou shalt teach them diligently when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down," and when, where's it going on? Where's the teaching going on? Home. Who saw to it? Daddy. Daddy gave direction in the admonition of the Lord. I say again, I am so thankful that I had the privilege of studying the Bible as an academic subject from the fifth grade all the way through law school. That means in elementary school, junior high school, 4 years of college, and 3 years of law school. When I got a report card, it not only had math, science, English, guess what? Bible. We had Bible tests. We got grades in Bible. Now, I understand not everybody's had that privilege. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I had parents who made sure this is the direction. My daddy arranged a job transfer. He took a church in one city and left another one because they had a Christian school, to put us in a Christian school. So, daddies, let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you going? Where's your family going? And some of you sitting there thinking, "Well, Bradley, if you'd hush up, we can get to the restaurant." But no, where are you going? Joshua said it best, didn't he? In Joshua 24 and verse 15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Whether it be the gods of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the flood, or the gods of your fathers in whose land you now dwell. But Joshua said what? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There it is. Mine an elegant translation. I don't know about the rest of you folks. I don't know about your house. But if my family will follow and I stay where God wants us to be, we're not only going to serve the Lord here, we're going to be in heaven one day together. And that's a promise. And that's why I say again, parents, the greatest thing we can give our kids is to give them the ability to walk away from our grave knowing that this is not the end. You talk about a Mother's Day prayer. That's the wish of every mother, to have faithful children, a faithful husband, so that when we do have to drive out of that cemetery, we'll know for certain that we're going to be together. You see, God wants us to have three homes. He wants us to have a family home. He wants us to have a church home. And He wants us to have a heavenly home. And only Jesus can provide that. That's why I'm so glad that when Jesus was on the cross, paying the price for your sin and mine, and with the fruit of the vine still on your lips, be reminded of the seven utterances from the cross. And you remember the first one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there are others, but do you remember what one of those other utterances was? He looked at John, and he said, behold your mother. Jesus was not going to go back to heaven without making sure that his mama was taken care of. Now, don't you know that gave her peace? Don't you know that that gave her the ability to keep going? And that's why today we want you to be a child of God. That's why we want you to be faithful to that walk. As much as you love your family now, it doesn't hold a candle to what we're going to enjoy in heaven. And that's why if you're not a Christian, we hope to baptize you today. If you're not faithful to that walk, we hope you'll respond to the invitation, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you right now while we stand, while we sing. Matt will lead us.